Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kinim is Chaf Gimel. As in terms of pagination, as we already pointed out yesterday, so we're just going to follow the dapim of Meila, even though we're in a new Masechta, and we're in the Masechta is called Kinim. Kinim, we already introduced ourselves to yesterday. We went through the first parak of the Mishnayos, one of a couple of Masechtas here at the end of Seder Kachim, where we're going to be learning the Mishnayos together. We're in rare air in terms of Daf Yomi. We're learning Mishnayos. We're learning the Mishnayos of Kinim, and a little bit later on, we're going to be learning the Mishnayos of Midos. We're also going to be learning Masechta Tamid. That's coming up a couple days from now. Masechta Tamid is Mishnah and Gemara. So, okay. And my best guess in terms of why these executive decisions were made, we're learning Mishnayos. We don't normally do that in other Siddurim. So it's probably because we finished most of Masechta, most of Seder Kachim. So we want to conclude, and we want to finish up all the Masechtas. My theory is good; it's not great. At the end of Nezikin, we went through most of the Masechtas in Nezikin, and at the end, there was no decision to learn the Mishnayos at the end. At the end of Nezikin, you have Adios, you have Avos, so you do have Masechtas with Mishnah and no Gemara. So it's a good theory; it's just not a great theory. Doesn't explain everything. In the meantime, however, Kinim, let's turn our attention to our Masechta. We're learning Kinim together. There's three short prakim. I told you already yesterday in the Mishnayos, this is the last Masechta of Seder Kachim. It's a short Masechta. It's three prakim. So I already explained the rule yesterday. The order of the Masechtas in every Seder is based on number of prakim. A larger prakim in the front, smallest prakim at the end. That's the rule, and it's a good rule. It works. It's correct. It's taught to me, by the way, by Rabbi Kornfeld. So this is the last Masechta, although we're not learning it last. We're learning it now third to last, but okay. Yesterday we went through the first parak of the Masechta, and we got a lot of the ground rules down in terms of Kinim in order to understand what is going on in our Masechta. Our Masechta has a very clear objective, and that is to analyze and study various scenarios when the bird flies a coop. Okay, so it goes from one coop to another coop, from one cane, literally cane's the nest, from one nest to another nest. And basically what we want to know in halacha is how do we treat these birds that fly from one to the other. The cases are going to get involved. Today, you'll see the cases are going to get involved. Tomorrow, you're going to see the cases are going to get involved. It's rather remarkable if you think about it in terms of how complicated all this can be when you consider the following. One is that there are only two karbonas that come from a carbon chatas. Only two karbonas that come from a bird. Either a chatas or an ola, that's it. That's it. There's no other carbon that comes from it. And number two, there are only two types of birds that can be offered. It's either a tur or a benyona. So the number of variables out there are not that many. And meanwhile, it's a mess. And you'll see what I mean as we go through this second parak today, and we're going to cover the third parak tomorrow.
Because birds fly, okay. Look alike, and right. Animals right. Can tell.
Okay, fine. It turns into a mess, but that's fine though. In other words, that's part of the Masechta. It's part of the fun of learning Kinim, and it's really the challenge of learning Kinim. It's Hainuach. It's really the same thing. What did we learn yesterday? So we learned some basic information regarding Kinim. I gave a lengthy introduction yesterday, thinking I had a lot of time. I had enough time. Anyway, so but I gave a lengthy introduction. So I'd say go replay yesterday's daf to hear the introduction. It's not out there. It's not going to get out there. Go over anything. I already told you, full disclosure, these Mishnayos that were put out by the Art Scroll, these new Mishnayos, they're fantastic. They're really good in terms of summarizing information and getting everything down and getting the cases down. It's an excellent resource. I really found it to be super useful in terms of going through this Masechta. When you're offering a pair of birds, so you're either offering as a chova or as an adava. Either it's an obligation or it's voluntary. If it's voluntary, so the two birds are coming as a pair of olos. If it's obligatory, so the chova, why would someone be bringing a chova? So yesterday we went over, there's a host of reasons why you'd be bringing a pair of obligatory birds. The one that we're going to be discussing most often, just simply because it's the most common, is a woman after giving birth. And you'll let us, a woman after giving birth, so she goes through her malosh, she counts the days of her tumah tahara, 40 days or 80 days. We'll be talking a lot more about this in Masechta Nida, which is also coming up on the horizon. And then afterwards, she's going to go and bring her karbanos, a pair of birds, chova. It's an obligatory pair of birds. It's an obligation so that she can re-enter into the Beis HaMikdash. These are birds that are a machshir, not a mechaper. She didn't sin. She's not receiving any kind of atonement. We talked about, the Gemara touched on the idea that maybe there's an element of kapara that's involved. But the simplest way to look at it is that it's just simply a machshir. It provides her the allowance to go back into the area of the Beis HaMikdash and to eat karbanos. Right? Pesach rolls around. She wants to eat karban Pesach. So she has to bring a pair of birds. Her pair of birds that she's going to bring, one is a chatos and the other one's an ola. Another basic point that we learned yesterday is the following. When are these two birds going to be designated as a chatos and ola? So there are only two times of designation allowance, and that's it. Meaning, either at the time of lekicha, when she gets the birds, when she actually purchases the birds, so at that point in time now she could designate which one's the chatos, which one's the ola, or the other time of designation is going to be at the hakrava. Meaning, if that designation was not done at point A, at the lekicha, so then at the hakrava, so the kohen will make the decision of which one will be the chatos, which one will be the ola. Anytime during this interim period, if the birds have not been assigned already, the birds cannot be assigned. The birds are going to remain in this undefined state of just simply being a pair of birds until the kohen actually offers the birds as karbanos. We saw this yesterday. Another very basic point that takes us really through the entire Masechta, it's a given. Without this point, really, the Masechta does not make any sense. And that is that the offering of the chatzos and the ola are mutually exclusive from one another. When it comes to a bird which is an ola, the blood is sprinkled on the top of the mizbech. When it's a chatzos bird, the blood is sprinkled on the bottom of the mizbech. The mizbech itself is bisected by a red line that runs around it, so that it serves as a midpoint of the mizbech. So all ola birds are going to go above, all chatzos birds are going to go below. Mnemonic, to help you remember, we went over this yesterday, ayin. Right, the ayin, the olas of the, well, you could do ayin if you want, but the olas of is lamala, right? The of, the ola, the with an ayin, is lamala, also with an ayin. Doesn't start with an ayin, but it's a mnemonic. It just helps remember. On the other hand, the test, the chatas is lamata. There, so you have the test. Has mnemonic help you remembering with the birds? Now, the mnemonic may be a little bit misleading, because when it comes to animals, it's just the reverse. So for the animals, the chatzos animal's blood is going to go on the top of the mizbeach, and the ola animal is going to go below the mizbeach. So remember, with this mnemonic, it is specific only to birds. That's why you can add that third ayin, for oaf.
How do we know that's accurate?
There are drushas to the question Danny's asking is, how do we know that this is ma'akiv? How do we know? The Mishnah told us in the very beginning yesterday that's a psul. How do I know that? So there are drushas. If you would like, I'm not going to go through it right now, but on the Mefarshim on the daf, so he goes through the drushas inside. If you want to take a look at the Perush HaRush, I'm not going to read inside, but he goes through all the drushas. Your question is where he starts off the Masechta. I didn't go through it yesterday as well. But anyway, the simplest answer, it's the correct answer. It's a series of drushas that brings us to that point. Otherwise known as Torah Shabbat Peh. It's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh that it's a psul. Okay. Other things that we discussed yesterday in terms of the first parak of the Masechta is we noted yesterday the Mishnah gave us all this basic information. And then the second half of the first parak, which we did yesterday, so gave us some very basic rules about tarovus, about mixtures. What happens if I have a mixture between one bird and another bird? So the rule is very simple, as we learned yesterday. Today it's going to get a little bit more complicated, but the rule yesterday we learned is so simple. And that is that if I have a defined bird, a chatos or an ola, that gets mixed in with undefined birds, and I don't know which one's which, so now we can't offer them. Meaning at that point in time now, we don't know which one's which. And because of the mutually exclusive nature of the chatos and ola birds, where the blood of one has to go to the top and the blood of the other has to go in the bottom, and if I cross that midsection, if I go above or below where I shouldn't, so it's a psul. So at that point in time, now everything needs to get discarded. I already made this point yesterday, again courtesy of the excellent parish. The Mishnayos here in our Masechta are not focused really on the person and his or her obligation, meaning to say that in all these cases where the Mishnah is going to say it's puzzle, you're going to have to knock out one, you're going to have to knock out two, the Mishnayos are only interested in the result of the birds. Meaning, and the person now, and his makeup karbanos, which as I pointed out yesterday, is an obvious issue that needs to be discussed, but our Mishnah doesn't discuss it. Meaning, some of it's pretty obvious and we can figure out on our own, but some of it is not so obvious in terms of what the person now is going to have to do. So, but the Mishnah is really focused on which birds are pasul, which birds are not pasul. That's really the focus on the Mishnah. Okay. Adkan, that really is just a really all too quick summary of what we did yesterday. And I recommend this to myself. Review yesterday's daf so that you get a really good grounding and basis for a lot of these discussions. We are now opening up this morning with the second parak. This morning we're going to be finishing the second parak of the of Kinim and leaving our third parak over for tomorrow. And by the way, there's going to be a little bit of agadata tomorrow. Can't believe I'm saying it, but it's true. At the end of Masechta Kinim, just a little bit of agadata. So with this Masechta gives us everything. Kanstuma sheparach mimenu gozal avir o sheparach lebein amesos o shemes echan mehem. So yikach zug l'sheni. So let's say it's a kanstuma. It's an undesignated pair of birds. And one of the birds flies away, or one of the birds goes to Bein HaMesos. It goes to birds which are already disqualified and designed for designated for death. Or one of the birds dies. The Mishnah is just simply illustrating a scenario in which now it's a pair of birds, it's a chova pair, they are undesignated, and they won't be designated until the Kohen decides which one's going to go to which. And then one of the birds just simply goes away, either literally flies away or halachically is disqualified. Whatever the case is, the Mishnah says the solution over here is really simple. Yikach zug l'sheni. So the Mishnah says, okay, so you just get another one for the pair. Now, this is a nice contrast to, right, yesterday, obviously. So we just, Yom Kippur, we went over the Avodah yesterday in Shul. And so when it comes to the Se'irim of Yom Kippur, so the halach is not like that. Although that is a debated point. A significantly debated point in terms of what do I do if I lose one of my goats? But kipshuto, the halacha is that if I lose one of my goats, I got to bring another pair because the goats have to be assigned by lottery, and so therefore, if I lose one, I got to bring another pair. And then it gets complicated because now I have three goats, and what exactly happens? But anyway, when it comes to birds, on this scenario, it's super simple. In other words, all you need to do is just simply bring another pair to the now undesignated birds and perfect. And now you have a pair of birds that are unassigned and we're ready to go.
They don't have to be identical, the birds.
No. But chances are they're going to look similar. No, right. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech haolam shehakol nibra. Now, I didn't make this point yesterday. Birds are gender neutral when it comes to karbanos. We don't have the ability, we, the layman, do not have the ability of identifying which one's male and female. You go to experts for that. It's true then, true now. Their genitalia is internal, not external. And so, but in terms of karbanos is concerned, there's no zachrus, there's no nekeva. Even though, by the way, it's an ola, meaning it's an ola bird. And by an animal, so an ola is male, period. And that's the, but meanwhile, by birds, there's no, ain't tamas v'zachrus ba'ofas. There's no, the bird does not have to be physically perfect, not like unlike an animal, which does have to be physically perfect. And there's no zachrus. There's no male requirement when it comes to birds. Okay. The Mishnah continues. We're still in the first Mishnah. Parach lebein hakrevos. So let's say the bird now is going to fly, and instead of flying into a disqualified area, the bird flies to other birds which are going to be offered. So pasul uposel echa kenegen, shagozel haporech, pasul uposel echa kenegdo. The mission now is going to give us a rule. This rule is going to carry us over through most of this parak. The rule basically goes like this. I have a pair of birds. You have a pair of birds. One of my birds flies into your nest. So the rule is that when this happens, so there's going to be two disqualifications that occur. In other words, what is now just happened is that when one of my birds flies into your bird, so I had two, you had two. Now I have one, you have three. Okay? Straightforward. Now, because one flew from mine to yours, so the rule is, and you can just keep repeating this as mantra for the rest of this morning, so pasul uposel echad kenegdo. So in my pile, one now becomes disqualified. In your pile, one now becomes disqualified. So of the one that I have remaining, that one last one remaining is disqualified. Of the three that you have, one of them becomes disqualified. And obviously we're talking about a scenario where, number one, everything was undesignated, because once any of these birds are already designated, so then we go back to what we learned in the first parak, which is that everything has to go now. Everything gets discarded. So we're talking about undesignated. And just for, this is an obvious point, but I'll say it anyway. And obviously we cannot identify one bird over the other, meaning the birds blended in one with another, so I don't know which one's which, obviously. Okay. In terms of understanding the rule, we'd love a better understanding of the rule, meaning that's the rule. Okay? You could just simply accept that as a given, that when one of my birds flies from one, my nest to your nest, so there's going to be now a double disqualification. One bird of mine gets disqualified, and one bird of yours gets disqualified. Why should that be? If everything is unassigned, so then why... So everything's unassigned, so why not just simply... Right. So I'll replace mine, and you will... and you'll just simply, you'll add another bird or take one of the birds away. So it's really not that simple. Now, let's consider the following. If, let's say, with your three, let's say you offered your three first. Once you offer your three, so there obviously has to come with it assignment, obviously. So when assignment comes with it, so what's going to end up happening is that one is going to be chatzos, one's going to be an olah, and as far as the third is concerned, we're going to have to assign it something. We can't just simply offer it with, you know, nothing. So we're going to assign it something. So we'll either assign it either chatzos or olah. But what that now means is that its pair is now also going to get assigned, meaning its pair in the first group, now there's only one left, that also is going to get assigned. Those ramifications now I'm going to say it a little bit strong, a little too strong. Those ramifications are devastating. It's devastating is too strong. It's not devastating. But it's certainly now going to create more problems than solutions. Meaning, consider, let's not do 2 and 2. Let's do 4 and 4. Okay, it's a better illustration of this phenomena. So if it's 4 and 4, so what now? What happens? So now one of mine flies from mine to yours. So now it's 3 and 5. Now let's say the one who has 5 or the one who has 3, really doesn't matter. But let's say the one who has 5 now offers all 5 of them. By offering the 5th, you have to obviously assign it. By assigning it, that means that its pair that's in my pile now also is assigned. Well, now that I've an assigned one to my pile and I don't know which one it is, so now what am I going to do with all 3? I'm going to have to get rid of all 3. So you see, so by virtue of the fact that if we just allow one of those two groupings to offer all their birds, by giving one assignment, you're also giving its counterpart also an assignment, and that's not going to be good. So the Chachamim said, oh, so you know what? So here's what we're going to do. And it'll be the best solution. Best solution meaning because it's just going to simply minimize the amount of birds that are going to be discarded. So when one of my birds flies into your bird, so now it started 4 and 4, now goes to 3 and 5. So now when one of my birds goes into yours, so what we'll do is we'll just knock out one of mine, we'll knock out one of yours, and now the rest of the birds are salvageable. In other words, I'll bring my 2, you'll bring your 4, and we're good. In other words, then the 2 I'm bringing are now going to be good, totally acceptable birds, and the 4 you're bringing are totally acceptable. And the loss that we suffered is only going to be a loss of 2 birds, as opposed to the way I illustrated earlier, where if you bring 5, I'm going to lose all 3. So what the Chachamim basically figured out is that just simply by disqualifying one on each side, we're only losing 2 as opposed to losing 3. And by the way, it could be a lot more than 3, meaning whatever the number that is in my pile, I'm going to lose all of them. Okay? That's the rule. With that stated...
How do you designate a bird when you don't know which one it is? You're saying automatically, if I designate one bird in pile number 4, then it is already designated the other bird.
When one bird goes from mine to yours, so now it's 3 and 5.
Right.
So now in the 5, if that person who had 5 offered all 5 of his birds.
Right, so the 5th has to be designated.
So the 5th now has to be assigned. Its pair now is also assigned.
I don't know which one that is.
That's exactly the problem.
I don't know.
That's exactly the problem. Perfect. Stop right there. So now because we have one assigned and we don't know which one it is, all 3 now are going to get discarded. That's what we learned in the first parak. So what the Chachamim figured out is, oh, so you know what we'll do? We'll just disqualify one on each side, and now we're only losing 2 as opposed to losing what could be a lot more. Okay. This is the first Mishnah of the second parak of Kinim. And now all we're going to do from this point going forward is we're going to just have this rule in mind and just plug it into a case. Now the case over here is a case which is not going to happen. And now, how could I make such a bold statement? It's been 2,000 years since we had a Beis HaMikdash. You will see. The likelihood of this case occurring is not, it's an abstract scenario. It's a conceptual Mishnah that really just allows us to look at this rule and see the rule in its application, even though the case obviously is going to be far-fetched. But that's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is just to show us how the rule is put into effect. Ketzad. Shtei Nashim. So the Mishnah, it takes us, starts us off nice and easy, which is that we're going to start off with a case of two women. Lezushte kinim, lezushte kinim. Now, each one has two pairs of birds. Now, one of the things, by the way, which I, like a small hurdle for me, and for you it's probably going to get easier, is that it's when it says two, it means two pair. So in other words, that's four. It's basically the case that I just illustrated. So park mezulazu. So now I have one bird jumping from one group to another group, from one woman's four to another, the other woman's four. So in other words, it went from four to four now to three and five. So posel achab alichasal. So now what's going to happen is because of our rule, so now one of the three get disqualified, one of the five get disqualified. Fine. Now, chazar. Now let's say a bird flies back from five to three, now bouncing it back to four and four. But of course, we don't know which bird it was, went from the five to the three. Could have been the same bird, but not necessarily. So now, what are we going to do? It's the same rule. We're just plugging in again. So now that means that it's going to disqualify on the return as well. So that means now we were at three and five, but how many eligible? So it was two and four. With a bird flying back, so now it's the numbers are back at four and four, but how many eligible? So now it's going to be two and two. Okay?
So what
do you do
with the analogy?
Well, I knew that question was coming.
Oh, good.
Okay, it's not our topic. Meaning I know it's not a satisfying answer, but in other words, whether just simply they're going to be discarded as far as the person's obligation, they're going to have to make it up. But the Mishnayos are just focused on the birds. The Mishnayos are interested really just from the perspective of the bird. Parach v'chazer, parach v'chazer, lo hifzik klum. Now, let's say that there's more traffic going from group A to group B, group B to group A. So at this point in time now, it can't harm anymore. Why? Shafilo hein muravin in pachos mishtayim. Because the Mishnah says, you remember what we learned yesterday? Remember the Mishnayos that we learned yesterday? In the Mishnayos we learned yesterday, we talked about where my undesignated birds and your undesignated birds all flew together and now created one grouping. What did we learn yesterday's Mishnah? We learned in yesterday's Mishnah that you bring half. That was our big discovery that we learned yesterday. You can't bring more than half. Now, we already went through yesterday. Why not? Because we don't know which ones are mine, which ones are yours. And therefore, when I start offering and you start offering, so it could very well be that the chatas ones that we're offering belong to me, which mean now, again, gives assignment to its pair. Those assigned pairs may be in the other, maybe in the other group. What, now that's all one group. And then the olas I bring may belong to the other persons. And so therefore, you only can bring up to half, but you can't bring more than half. Over here, in our trafficking of birds going from one group to the other group, so again, it went three to five, it went back to four and four. And then there was more birds flying back and forth, back and forth. It's no worse than what we learned yesterday, that when all the birds fly together in one grouping, so you bring half. Here too, so if I started with four and you started with four, and they kept flying back and forth one to another, so even though we lose with each passing, we lose one at a time, but we cannot lose more than a total of half the birds. Good. Okay, good.
Two and two, you're saying.
Right.
And two and two is what, yes, what is what we're saying. Now, lezu, achas, lezu, shtayin, lezu, gim, lezu, dala, lezu, hey, lezu, vav, lezu, zayin. As we're now in the third Mishnah. Now, we have seven women over here, and one woman is bringing now with her one pair of birds. The second woman bringing two pairs of birds, and this goes all the way up to seven, and the seventh woman now is bringing seven pairs of birds. Okay, and that means now that our seventh woman has 14 birds that she's coming to the base of Mikdash with. Now, these seven women, again, the case over here is conceptual. It's an abstract scenario just to show us how all this is going to play out. So, Lezu Hei, Lezu Zayin, Lezu, I'm sorry, Lezu Zayin, Paruch Min HaRishon, Lishniya, Uli Lishniya, Uli Shlishis, Uli Revias, Uli Chamish, Uli Shishis, Uli Shvias. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to play musical chairs. What's going to happen now is that the bird from group one is going to fly into group number two. A bird from group number two is going to fly into group number three. A bird from group number three is going to fly into number four, et cetera, et cetera. And this is going to go all the way to number seven. Okay, now, in terms of number one is concerned, so number one now lost one of its two birds, right? I'm looking at the first woman who only has one pair of birds. So she lost a bird in that flight. She also got one of her birds disqualified because of the rule.
Right.
Now, with each time that you're having a bird fly from one to two, two to three, three to four, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So again, it's going to be the same thing.
Hmm.
But remember though, with everyone in the middle, so what's going to happen is that when one bird flies in, so that disqualifies one. When one bird flies out, that also disqualifies one. So as opposed to the extremities, which are only going to be halachically losing one bird, the ones in the middle are going to be losing two birds. Okay? And the one on number seven was also an extremity. So when the bird flies from six to seven, so they're losing halachically one bird. Good. Once you know the rule, it's just simply an application of the rule. Now, what's next in the Mishnah? V'chazar. Now, we're going to go back. So a bird's going to fly from 7 to 6, and a bird's going to fly from 6 to 5, etc., etc. So now, echad ba'ali chaso, the echad, I'm sorry, poso, echad ba'ali chaso, the echad b'chazaraso.
Double the poso.
So now, again, with every flight, and with every exchange, so you're going to be losing one on each side. Now, harishon v'shnei ein lam klum. So now, the Mishnah is going to basically hit the sum total button.
Right?
So it's basically, see the case, now hit the sum total. Where are we right now? So the first group and the second group, Ein Lam Klum, they don't have any birds. Meaning they have birds, they have no halachically acceptable birds. Right? Now remember the first one, by the way, just with that first flight. So that's it. In other words, the first one lost it because she lost a bird, and halachically, the remaining bird got disqualified. Good.
Why is the second?
The second one, only because of the return.
Yeah, but they lose the one. And they lose one, so they lose two.
So
there should be two left.
No, right? So you have to. I know. It takes a second for it to click. When one goes into two, so then one of those got disqualified. And then when two goes into three, another one of two has got disqualified. It works. It works. It just all you're just doing is plugging in the rule, and then so two lost now. So on the back and the fourth, so two now halachically lost all of its birds as well, four of its birds. Hashlishis yeshlam achas. The third one has one. Harivis yeshlam shtaim. Number four has got two birds. Hachamishis yeshlam shalosh. The fifth one has three. Hashishis yeshlam arba. Number six has got four. Hashvius yeshlam shesh. Number seven's got six. Okay. Now number seven's got six. Now remember, number seven's an extremity. So number seven's an extremity. So when a bird flies in there, so it loses one. When a bird flies from it to number six, it loses one. So on the So it loses. It's only going to be losing one pair of birds on the back and on the fourth. Okay.
But the third one has one left, so it doesn't do anything anyway. No.
It's got one
left.
One pair of birds left.
One pair.
One pair of birds left. Okay. Chazar uposo echad balichaso the echad bechazaraso. So now the Mishnah says, okay, now let's do this again. Okay, so we're going to have now our second passing, right? Our bird's going to fly from one to seven, and right? Again, each one, one's going to two, two's going to three, et cetera, et cetera. And then Choser. And then we're going to go back. And so, again, once you know the rule, it's just now a question of plugging in the rule. So Ashlish is Varavis Ein Lam Klum. So now, number three and number four now have lost all their birds halachically. Our fifth group has got one pair left. The sixth group have two left. And the seventh group has got five pairs of birds left. Now remember, number seven is an extremity. So number seven is not going to get hit like all the middle people. The middle people are going to get hit because remember, a bird coming in is going to disqualify. When a bird leaves, another bird gets disqualified. So when you're in the middle, so you're getting hit on both sides. Meanwhile, number seven, who is an extremity, only going to get hit only one time with the bird going there and one time when the bird coming out. Park v'chazer. So now we're going to do one more passing. It's going to be our third round. Right? This is Hakafa Gimel. So in our third round, part of the chazar posel echa belachos abali chazav echa bechazaraso hachamish veashishis in lam klam ashvisi shlam arba. So now, in our third round, we are now going to be disqualifying all birds of all women except for number seven. Number seven, so it's right, this is just simply how, it's not fair, unfair, it's just simply, this is how, this is the result. And that is, every woman's going to have disqualified birds except for the woman who came with seven pairs of bird. She's going to have four. She's walking away with four eligible birds. And all six other women are going to be, you know, with birds, but all disqualified. Okay. V'yesh omrim. Now, as we are finishing up our Mishnah over here, v'yesh omrim ha'shvias lo yisida klum. Now, some are of the opinion that the seventh one doesn't lose anything. Now, this point of the Mishnah is a little bit complex because the yesh omrim is of the opinion that the gzera that we just the gzera that really covers our entire perek of it passes the one that leaves and it passes the one it goes to. So the Yesh Omrim is of the opinion that the extremity is going to be unaffected by this rule. And there's a long discussion, lengthy discussion of why that should be. The Mishnah finishes up with one final point, and that is as follows. All these cases are somewhat salvageable because the birds flew from a nest which was acceptable to a nest which is also acceptable. But if the birds flew from a nest which is unacceptable, meaning all of them are disqualified, so then, and it flies into another nest, so all those birds are going to be disqualified. Why? Because once again, once the disqualified bird goes in, that's the first parak. Once the disqualified bird goes in, so then everything gets disqualified. If you think about it, by the way, now when you revisit the Mishnah, you really have to, you have to look again at the Mishnah and think about these cases that we described in the Mishnah. Right? What was the case that we described? Seven women, each one having pairs corresponding to whatever number they are. First one has one pair, second one has two pair, et cetera, et cetera. In the Mishnah, we had a bird flying from one to two. What did that do for number one? So it knocked out her remaining bird. Good. And then from two to three, so what did it do for number two? So one got knocked out because of the flight from one to two, and then one gets knocked out because of the flight from two to three. So already in the first passing, so one now has a nest of disqualified birds. And so does two. So when you think about what we just learned together in the Mishnah, it now becomes a little bit difficult. Meaning, as remember in the Mishnah, we had three hakafas, right? It goes one to two, two to three. It goes all the way up, and then it goes back down. And then it goes up, and then it goes down. And then it goes up, and then it goes down. So if what we just learned in the Mishnah is correct, which it is, and that is that once you have birds that are coming from a disqualified nest going to other birds, so then all the birds are disqualified. So at that point in time, so if it's going from two to three, and all the birds in two are disqualified, so shouldn't that make all the birds in three also disqualified immediately? Good. That's a good. It's something to think about. It's not something to think. It's a lot to think about, but it certainly, it forces us to now rethink the case. The case already is somewhat complicated, and now what I just threw in another wrinkle. I threw in another wrinkle, and it also makes it even more complex.
So, are you saying that the birds have misconduct?
No. What the birds? What? Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Kain Sesuma. The Kain Mifureshes. If let's say I have undesignated birds and designated birds. So Parchman Astumala Mifureshes. So let's say a bird flies from the undesignated to the designated. So Yikachzug Lesheni. So that would be fine. Because the designated birds, one's a chatzis, one's an ola, and then an undesignated bird comes in. Okay. So it's an odd number. So fine. So we'll just simply pair up a new bird together with the three. So now three becomes four. And that wouldn't be a problem. Isn't there designated birds in there? That's fine. Meaning of the designated birds, one's a chatzis, one's an ola. Of the two undesignated birds, one's a chatzis, one's an ola. That would be fine. Chazar o sheparach min ha-mefreshes, rishon harekulan yamuso. However, let's flip that around. Let's say that the birds that flew were from the designated group to the undesignated group. Now we have a problem. An unsolvable problem. Because once you have bird flying from designated group to undesignated group, so the designated bird now is either going to be a chatzos or ola, we just don't know which one flew in, and now it flew into undesignated pair, And now, that's Perek Rishon. That's the first Perek of Kinim. At that point in time, we have to discard all those birds. Chatos mikan va'ola mikan, ustuma be'emsa. Our last Mishnah, Mishnah Hay over here, is now going to have three piles. So I have a chatos bird on one extremity. Let's call it the left side. It's arbitrary assignment over here. And I have an ola bird on the other extremity, on the right side. And in the middle pile, stuma b'emtza, a pair of undesignated birds. Paruch mina emtza l'tzadim, echad helech ve'echad helech, lo hifzik klum. Now, if the two center birds now fly to the extremities, so that's great. Let's not go with the word great, but it's salvageable. Because what's the problem? Meaning, on one extreme is a chatas bird, another bird that flew in over there that was unassigned, fine. So now with these pair of birds, so what I'll just simply do is the Kohen will just simply offer them as what? As two chatas birds. Yeah, you have to. Because one is a chatas and the other bird now is unassigned. I can't now just simply, right, I can't just simply say one's a chatas, one's an ola, because one's already a chatas. So what the Kohen will do is he'll offer both of them as a chatas. And the bird that flew in with the ola bird, so I'll just offer both of them as an ola. And now with that, so all the birds are being offered, and the undesignated birds will just simply get designated as they're being offered. That's fine.
There were three nests,
but the case is very specific. On the extremities, there's only one bird. Yeah. Okay, fine. So lo hifzik klum. Ela yomer zesh alachetzo chatas chatas, v'zesh alachetzo olos ola. Okay, good. Like we just described. Chazer le'emtza. However, now if let's say a bird flies from the extremities into the center. Hayim Saim Yamusu. Well, that's a problem. Because now that I have designated birds flying into undesignated pile, so now they all have to get discarded. So, Yamusu. Eilu Yikruvu Chatas Ve'elu Yikruvu Olos. As far as the extremities are concerned, well, the extremities are still good. Meaning, on one extreme I had a pile of Chatas, on the other extreme I had a pile of Olos. So if one flies from the extreme to the center, fine. Fine, you have to discard all the center. Now, but if one were to fly from the center now to the extremities, and if one flies back now to the extremities, now we have a problem. So chazar osha parchmina emsel it's sudden harikulan yamusu, and that's what the Mishnah teaches us, that they're all consigned now for death. Okay, that takes us really through the difficulty of the second parak of the Masechta. Obviously, we're going to finish the second parak, but those are really big hurdles that we had to jump. Meaning those are just good examples of what makes Kinim such a challenging Masechta, difficult Masechta, but, you know, with more understanding. I'm not saying I fully understand the Masechta, but with more understanding, though, certainly a better appreciation. Eim mevi'in Torin k'neged b'nei Yonah v'lo b'nei Yonah k'neged Torin. So, like I pointed out in the beginning of Shir today, there are really not that many variables when it comes to birds. It's actually very straightforward. It's only Chatas Ola, and it's only going to be two types of birds. Right. It's either a tor or a ben yonah.
Yeah,
by the way, Ramban and Chumash, right? I wanted to bring a Ramban. I didn't. Okay, that's my fault. The Ramban and Chumash says, why these specific birds? I made this point yesterday. Most of the birds of the world are kosher. The Torah only goes to 24 types of birds that are not kosher. So why is the Torah so limiting in terms of which birds can be brought as a karban? So I'm not sure if that's a fair question, meaning that's a why question. You know, I'm not good with the why questions, but the Ramban on Chumash says that these birds happen to be the most available of birds. So, small birds easier to handle, literally easier to handle. Okay, right, but the Ramban on Chumash addresses that question.
Okay. Can you imagine doing Melika on
a turkey. Right. Okay. Now, being that all the variables are extraordinarily limited, but the Mishnah here gives us a rule. Now, this rule is a fantastic setup for tomorrow. And the rule is that if you're going to bring a chova pair of birds, so they have to be a match. It's that simple. So in other words, so I'm bringing a pair of birds, so it's either going to be two Torim or two B'nai Yonah. It's that simple. That's the rule, and that's what the Mishnah is going to teach us. So, Ein Mavi in Torim K'neged B'nai Yonah. If this rule weren't true, we would not have a third parak of Kinnim. But this rule is true, and therefore it opens up for the third parak of Kinnim. So ein mevi in turn kenege ben yona velo ben yona kenege turn ketzad haisha shevi chatasa tor va olasa ben yona. So let's say a woman goes to the base of Mikdash and she's got a pair of birds, but they're not a match. The chatas that she's bringing is a tor, and the ola that she's bringing a ben yona. So now the kohen's going to look at her and say, try again, try again. But now, right, come back again. But now, but she did assign them both the Kedusha status. So which one is going to be the preeminent bird? Which one is the Koveya? So interestingly, the Chatas. The Chatas is the Koveya. And so therefore, Techpo v'tavi olasa tor. So what she's going to do is she's going to bring her Ola as a tor. Meaning since her Chatas was a tor, so she's going to now match up a new bird with her Chatas. And so it makes sense. The Gemara elsewhere, we saw this Gemara. We saw this Gemara. The Gemara says that in the Torah, whenever you read psukim that describe the birds as karbanos, the Torah introduces the ola before the chatas. So one could be somewhat led astray and think that the ola is the dominant bird in this relationship. It's not. The chatas is the dominant bird. Why does the Torah always introduce the ola before the chatas? So the Gemara gives an answer. I'm paraphrasing right now because I'm not quoting the Gemara inside. But the Gemara's answer is simply, that's just simply how the Torah writes. Okay, it's a paraphrased answer. Let's, you know, if you can find the Gemara, see it inside. But anyway, the Ola, but the Chatas is the dominant bird. And so conversely, Ola Sator v'Chatas ben Yona. So let's say our Ola is a Tor and a Chatas ben Yona. Techpo v'Tavi Ola Sa ben Yona. So now what you're going to do is that you're going to bring your Ola as a ben Yona because, again, you want your Ola to match your Chatas because the Chatas is the dominant bird. Benazi Omer, Hochanach Harisha. Now Benazi disagrees. Benazi says that in terms of what the match is going to be, it's whatever you designated first. If you designated your Tor first, regardless of whether it's Ola Chatas, so then the match is going to be with the Tor. And if you designated your Ben Yona first, so then regardless of whether it's Chatas or Ola, so then you're going to go with the Ben Yona. Okay, makes sense. You know, I don't know how much sense I can, you know, it's whatever.
Once you make an assignment,
okay, good.
You're obligated to make a
second
match for
it. Good. So Benazai speaking to you. The Haisha Shevi Chatasa Umesa, Yavi Yershon Olasa. If a woman is obligated to bring a pair of birds and she already brought her carbon chatas and Rachmanis, the woman died, so now her Yershon are going to be bringing the complimentary Ola. Now, you know where we're going with this. Olasa Umesa, Lo Yavi Yershon Chatasa. The converse, of course, is not true. If, let's say, of a pair of birds, she brought the Ola. Now, as we just learned together, the Chatas is the dominant, which means that not only, according to the Tanakhama, does the Ola have to match the Chatas, but on top of that, also the Chatas should have been brought first. That's true. But if the Mishnah is just simply describing a scenario in which, if the Ola is brought first, and then Rachmanis, she passed away, and then her Yershim are not going to bring the Chatas. Why? Because Chatas Shemesu Ba'aleha. Because, in other words, this is a standard rule that we say throughout Shas, and in Seder Kachim, she already received a kapara through her death, and so therefore she is not going to be, the Yorshim are not going to be bringing her Karmel Chatas. Hajran Allah, just give me one second. Hajran Allah Chanstuma, that is the end of the second parak. Ask me right afterwards, I'll stay.
It relates to the first case you just said, what happened to the other bird? You match one, so what happened to the other one?
Seemingly. I'm not sure about that point, but seemingly. Okay, so this ends now the second parak. So let's just quickly recap. So here in the second parak, so the rule that really is the theme of the second parak is that when one bird flies from an undesignated set to another undesignated set, so there's going to be a psul on both sides. The one bird is going to be passed from the group that it came from. And another bird is going to be possible to the group that it goes to. In terms of understanding that, so really it was cost analysis that was done by the Chachamim. Meaning the Chachamim figured that this will be the best way to salvage the maximum number of birds, as I explained earlier this morning. And so therefore they had this rule of you are passeling one on each side of the exchange. With that rule in mind, so then the Mishnahs went to town. The Mishnayos then took us through scenarios of where it goes from one group to another. We had seven women lined up, each one having a number of pairs matching whatever number of women they are, 1 through 7. We had birds flying from 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, all the way to 7, going back down to 1. and then Hakafa Beis, and then Hakafa Gimel, and we just simply plugged in the rules and saw exactly how this rule is going to manifest itself. That was the first half of the second parak of Kinim, and the second half of the Masechta, more rules regarding birds flying from Konstuma to Kamu Fereshis, the result of when an undesignated bird flies into designated, that's salvageable. When designated flies into undesignated, unsalvageable. And then finally, the last thing we learned in our Mishnah, which sets us up for tomorrow, is the rule that the birds have to be a match. Which means that if there's a chovah obligation of an ola and a chatas, so they have to both either be tur or rather be ben yona. Which one is the dominant in terms of assigning which one should match which? So that is the according to the Chachamim, it needs to match the Chatas. Whatever you assign as your Chatas, that the Ola has to match that. Benazi disagreed on that point. And with that, we will continue tomorrow with the third paragraph.